Thank you.
Well, thank you, Jenny, and thank you, Dr. Mobley. I'm going to have to incorporate your findings in this work, which will be more qualitative. Last spring, JSI was contracted by the Massachusetts Department of Public Health to conduct a cancer disparities health equity strategic planning needs assessment in the southeastern region of Massachusetts. And so this presentation is based on the final report of that assessment. The work was preceded under the guidance and participation and research of the Massachusetts Cancer Disparities and Health Equity Work Group. And we'd like to extend a special thank you to the work group and to our project officers at MDPH, Gail Miriam, Director of the Comprehensive Cancer Prevention and Control Network, and Joshua Nimbose, MDPH epidemiologist, as well as to the many individuals and organizations in southeastern Mass who shared their experiences and extensive knowledge of their community. I have nothing to disclose. As the leading cause of death in Massachusetts, cancer claims approximately 13,000 lives annually. Racial and socioeconomic disparities continue to impact cancer incidence and mortality in the state. To address this growing problem, as incorporated within the state's five-year comprehensive cancer prevention and control plan, And the DPH selected JSI to conduct this particular initiative as one of the key strategies in the plan. Phase one of our initiative entailed reviewing data on cancer from across six regions of the state in order to select a priority region for the pilot Cancer Disparities Health Equity Needs Assessment. In phase two, the assessment was conducted to uncover the underlying factors behind cancer disparities to help in guiding regional planning and implementation of evidence-informed, if not evidence-based, community-based strategies. So, several disparities in cancer health indicators were found to exist in the southeastern Mass region. These include in total overall cancer with higher cancer incidence, hospitalization, and mortality rates, especially for men, higher cancers diagnosed at distant stage or late stage, higher cancer mortality rates for non-Hispanic Black persons, and then also for specific cancers, we saw disparities in indicators amongst specific cancers in the region, breast cancer, which had higher hospitalization, with low income less likely to report recent mammograms, and Hispanics less likely to report self-breast exam in lifetime, cervical cancer with higher incidence for non-Hispanic Black population as well, and Hispanics also less likely to report screening. Lung cancer, higher incidence, hospitalization, and mortality, and higher, especially for Asian Pacific Islanders. Prostate, higher incidence and mortality as well, higher for Black populations, and low income, less likely to report PSA screening. We also looked at risk factors in the region, such as smoking, as well as access to a healthy diet and socioeconomic status. And so after reviewing those indicators, it was decided to focus on southeastern Mass. And just to show you a little more data, this slide shows the cancer incidence from 2004 to 2008 with more new cases of cancer diagnosed among residents, southeastern Mass in light blue and the rest of the state dark blue for total lung and prostate cancers and mortality being higher than Massachusetts as well as lung cancer. So, in starting the second phase in the qualitative needs assessment, JSI conducted discussions and focus groups with consumers, providers, and community leaders working in area health and social services. The entire project took place in only over a few months. So overall, the short time frame was challenging, and the broad scope. After an initial round, we realized we could use more information and seniors and area health providers, and so we extended our group and with the support of DPH to those populations. And in total, we had consumer focus groups with 26 participants concentrated on Portuguese speakers, those with limited educational achievement and literacy, non-Hispanic black men, particularly Haitian men, and seniors. We also held a discussion group with 9 community health workers from 3 area organizations, which serve a range of different residents. And this slide is listing organizations represented in the provider and community leader discussion groups that were also held. And some of these are coalitions with additional organizations represented, such as Voices for a Healthy South Coast or Healthy City Fall River. So we had a pretty broad engagement. As we get into the findings, just want to point out some of the key themes. We gathered the findings broken into 2 sections, the first on prevention and wellness, and the second on screening and treatment. But across these themes, we find some, these areas, we find some key things that repeated, especially you'll see need for education, personal and cultural barriers, social determinants of health being very impactful, lack of access to care, and challenges in the patient-provider relationship. So our first set of findings regarding prevention and wellness. First, we considered the many risk factors for initiation of cancer that were identified during the assessment. Among the preventable risk factors mentioned of particular concern were smoking, alcohol and drugs, sun exposure, and cancer-causing agents due to environmental and occupation exposures. Note that on my slides, you'll see there are direct quotes from participants. These are in our report. Unfortunately, I don't have time to read them all. They provide a lot of insights themselves. And I just want to note on this slide that it notes that one of the community advocates were saying they don't care about cigarette smoking. The fact is they did care about smoking and cancer. They were just frustrated that smoking seemed to be the sole focus of many campaigns, while drugs and other serious issues affecting the minority youth that they worked with seemed to be ignored. Southeastern Mass is home to very diverse populations, necessitating well-targeted, linguistically and culturally appropriate efforts to improve cancer and chronic disease prevention and control. The assessment discusses the high-risk populations identified, reviewing characteristics and unique experiences that were described as most important to residents' attitudes and behaviors, opportunities and challenges in regard to protecting their health. Certain racial and ethnic groups were highlighted by participants as being particularly affected. These vary by community, but include among Latino populations, particularly Puerto Rican and those from Central America, Portuguese-speaking populations from Cape Verdean, Portugal and Brazil, which varied in risk factors, Asians, especially the Khmer populations, African Americans, particularly Haitians. As to gender, men were noted to be engaged in high-risk activities like smoking and to face occupational exposures. Low income were at greatest risk. Widespread poverty and unemployment described as important drivers affecting cancer risk factors, as I'm sure we're not surprised at. Limited education, as the level of education is low in the region, with very high dropout rates in area cities. And this, of course, affects access to resources. And the ability to obtain and use health information was noted to be strongly affected by language as well as literacy. Interestingly, incarceration came up with women in prison, noted by community health workers as not getting health education and promotion, access to screening and adequate treatment. Also highlighted were those with multiple health concerns, so that having Several chronic diseases, as well as having physical and or cognitive challenges, was described as common and particularly challenging for navigating needs around cancer prevention. And culture also appears to impact cancer risk factors for certain groups, with Asian men in the region having particularly high rates of lung cancer, and Khmer men, for example, noted to have high rates of smoking, described as being integral to their lives and therefore particularly difficult to shift. Puerto Rican men were similarly described as heavy smokers. However, they noted that while children were said not to smoke in Puerto Rico, participants claimed that once they moved to the U.S., many Puerto Rican youth smoke, more so than from other Spanish-speaking or Portuguese-speaking backgrounds. Some of the reasons mentioned across groups for smoking included stress in their lives, including work and parenting, not having family support, and that smoking provides a form of distraction. Living with or visiting family members and others who smoke cigarettes or marijuana was mentioned as an obstacle to quitting and living smoke-free. While several residents told us that cancer had affected their family members and or themselves and were aware of the most common types of cancer, many told us that they did not have much information on how different types of cancer develop. Some thought that only smoking-related cancers and skin cancers could be prevented. The community health workers who were performing cancer outreach were quite knowledgeable, yet even they were unaware that alcohol, for example, is a risk factor for certain types of cancer. While some infectious diseases such as HIV and human papillomavirus can increase risk of cancer, these factors were not mentioned by consumers. And conversely, adult education students shared their concerns that germs from sharing cups could cause cancer, which is not a known risk. Both residents and community health workers find that the recommendations can become overwhelming. As additional risk factors such as alcohol were discussed, some were tempted to say that there's just too much to worry about and one should just enjoy life and not curtail what's enjoyable. Several noted that belief that cancer is really a matter of fate which cannot be changed, and while others expressed that religious faith is really the most important determinant. Residents were not fully aware of the impact of fitness and nutrition upon cancer. Participants felt that people understand that exercise and eating fruits and vegetables that can generally improve health. However, many were not aware that poor diet, obesity, and lack of physical activity can actually increase risk of cancer. While progress is being made in cancer prevention and wellness activities, not all residents are being included and engaged. Southeastern Mass has a number of well-planned outreach efforts that have been engaging multiple partners in cancer awareness and general wellness. Some of these have demonstrated success in engaging high-risk populations. Yet, even with such success, they can be difficult to maintain because funding streams fluctuate. Community advocates working in some of the most distressed neighborhoods said they are not included as partners in some of the larger initiatives with more stable funding that often entail more complicated application process. Conditions in Southeastern Mass communities were said to foster cancer disparities and inequities and limit efforts of residents and their allies to improve health. Community and government partners recognize and are working to address these broader social determinants of health that extend well beyond the need for individual lifestyle changes. They express that broader investment in the region's economy and community infrastructures will be needed to have the necessary impact. And among social determinants of health that were raised as being important to address were, again, poverty, unemployment, and lack of education, limited access to fitness at school, the built environment, such as lack of sidewalks and bicycle paths, and safety concerns. Moving on to our second set of findings concerning screening and treatment, several potential factors were identified through the assessment that may contribute to lower screening rates among subpopulations. Among attitudes and behaviors, both community health workers and residents pointed out that many residents do not see a doctor unless they feel very ill, and that there's a lack of familiarity with preventive care in general, especially among those who grew up in areas where such care was not available. Many residents said they don't like to talk about cancer. Community health workers also noted that residents are unaware of the signs and symptoms of cancer and how to do any self-screening and are not comfortable asking for screening. Even if someone had a positive test, they said they didn't want to worry family members. Some believe there is no cure for cancer, and those who felt cancer could be cured tend to be those who knew a survivor. And direct experience was very important to perceptions across cultural groups. Men were said to be less likely to acknowledge health problems, and men who were interviewed said that their focus is on providing for the family rather than for themselves. Other residents mentioned not wanting to get tested because of the stress of waiting for results, or fear of tests being painful was also commonly raised, while fear of deportation was also described as a significant barrier to seeking preventive services. So initiatives appear to have helped increase screening among target populations in specific geographic areas by providing culturally tailored outreach and improving access to screening services. The greater New Bedford area, for example, was reported by South Coast Hospital as having good rates of mammography screening, and they noted the YWCA breast cancer outreach program that uses community health workers was noted as a factor increasing such screening, along with South Coast Hospital offering a mobile van that travels to workplaces and community settings. Screening for prostate cancer remains a challenge for the South Coast, yet a little north in Brockton, their neighborhood health center noted they were able to increase prostate screening as well as cervical cancer screening during pilot initiatives. However, time-limited funding streams were undermining continued progress. Healthcare reform has increased the proportion of Massachusetts residents with health insurance, yet barriers to accessing treatment remain, even with healthcare reform improvements. Other barriers in general to accessing treatment included lack of transportation, limited time to seek services, lack of insurance for many residents, especially the undocumented who are not eligible for MassHealth coverage, and difficulty navigating the healthcare system. Healthcare reform increased the proportion of Massachusetts residents with insurance, and in fact, but yet the coverage can be sporadic over time, and indeed the 2012 Massachusetts Health Reform Survey indicated that as many as 10.6% of all adults aged 19 to 64 did not have health insurance coverage at some point during the prior 12 months. Southeastern Mass was noted as a region with disproportionately higher rates of those without insurance. Concern was voiced by providers that access to follow-up cancer treatment services was not assured after a free screening test program was performed. For those with insurance, the cost of co-pays and medicines can also be a barrier, and community health workers said that residents consider it to be less expensive and less burdensome to rely on home and traditional remedies, and we heard that in some of the resident focus groups, especially among Haitian men. So costs and access, though, are not the only barriers that were identified. Perceptions regarding quality of care, service delivery, and whether patients feel they're being listened to and respected, all were said to impact whether residents sought health care services. Individual patients' experiences were shared widely within social networks so that a bad experience had widespread influence over community-wide perceptions. Health providers were also found to need updated guidance and continual support on cancer screening guidelines, insurance coverage, tertiary care systems, and availability of local services. They were confused by changes in screening guidelines and complexities in insurance coverage. They weren't sure what was covered under MassHealth and other plans. For example, whether Chantrix was covered to aid patients in smoking cessation. About time?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So our report is available, and I can get it to anybody who would like it. We also have the handout with these recommendations. We had several near-term recommendations that could be some of which the participants had offered, and we also added some. Anyway, that's in the handout that you can download for the session. And then we also had some longer-term recommendations that would take more investment of resources and time to develop. And with that, of course, also potential further areas of research that we'd love to hear back from you all about. Any thoughts on that? And just want to acknowledge the ARI participants and health advocates for whom we have great admiration, and our colleagues. And here's my contact information. Thank you.